I think we have levels.
Oh, praise God, we're on. Sweet.
Sweet. And no echo or anything, I'm hoping. But the button was off this time. And I know that my meandering introductions are edit problems for my dear Sue. But, you know, we just... This is part of long suffering and agape love.
some of us are easier to love than others. Right. That we so can easily put out the practice of myself, I should say.
Yeah, it works so well, doesn't it?
You know, what was it? It was funny. I was listening to the radio station the other day. This was actually a couple of years ago, and he goes, and there was the questions of why men do this or whatever, and one of them says, why does my husband, he was asking Wally, he's a Christian radio station, why does my husband leave the clothes on the floor when he changes? He can't put them in the laundry basket, he leaves them right there on the floor. And he goes, well, he's just giving you an opportunity to love him.
Isn't that really special of him?
Yeah, what a nice guy.
And some of us do it at varying degrees of success, but we're a mess, and the Lord's grace and mercy is new every day. It's because we're the same old people every day when we wake up, man. It's we're messes.
You know, for today's show, I really would like to just replay Steve's message and call it a day, Bo, because I tell you, I really enjoyed it. I really did enjoy it.
I'm going to have to listen to it later. I was in high-level meetings. Well, it was getting high, deep anyway, around the meeting place.
See, I just ran straight to my house there listening to Steve. What a scumbag.
Wish I had done that myself. I made a slight error. It was actually a big error in describing Jesus' humanity as having a birth date, and that was true. But he had an expiration date only by choice. He was without sin, and that body would have lived forever. So, the expiration date was by choice. He took on our expiration, and he shed that blood that covered the handwriting of ordinance. So it was unreadable, and there were no charges against us. That was a neat perspective which the Lord gave me right there, and I was like, it seemed like incomplete. It was just nailed to the handwriting, the paper or whatever it was written on, to the cross. That's part of what happened. The rest of it was it got covered up and turned red.
Man, blood had blotted out.
Yeah, blotted it out. That's how you blot it out.
Amen.
With the blood.
Oh.
Whoa, sweet.
Sorry. Now, I apologize for being sorry. You know, one of the things that I know that Steve brought up in the service that I found quite interesting. I mean, you know, when we come to understanding God's grace, isn't when we do all these things right. Isn't when we do all these things right. It's when we realize of how much of a failure we are, and that we need him. And you know, one of the things that he said was having that cross set before us is a constant humbling thing, because it tells us that we're not good enough. We need it. Yeah. You know,
constantly want to have this perception of ourselves as worthy.
Right.
There's going to be a time when I'm able to get all this stuff right, and I will be worthy of something. But the truth of the matter is, the only one that was worthy was Jesus.
Amen.
And his fresh mercy that we have been given access to because the Lord's good. Our need never goes away. Never goes away. Every morning it's the enforcer. I have to start enforcing it. The word of the Lord is like, all right, I don't want to get up. I don't want to think about everybody else. I don't want to do these things. And you have to shake the stuff off and put on Christ.
Amen. And, you know, it's in that place, that lowliness, that humility, the realizing that, that you need Him. Is a place where you can look upon what he has done in his victory and, rise above any of the situation, which quite frankly, a lot of what Steve has said, I was really good. I recommend those who didn't hear it to really listen to it. I mean, it was an awesome, awesome service.
So what are we looking at today? Are we looking at something?
Well, I mean, I like Romans 8. I hit a little bit on that this morning, a little bit in the service. And, I like 8:28. I don't know if you want to start at 1, what you want to do, Paulie. Whatever you want to do, wherever you want to go, whatever comes to your mind, I'm down for whatever. I'm not going to promise you that I have clarity on the whole thing, that's for sure. But willing to go wherever, man.
Let's start in 26. And then we'll see if we go back to 1.
Yeah, I know. I was kind of thinking 1 myself. it says, 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That right there is a praying in tongues. Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I look at this, likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. I look at that, and there's many times where...
We ought to know what we need to pray for.
Right, but I mean, you're in a situation, and you feel a heat. I take work, for example, home example, in the midst of just a freaking, just a very stressful situation. Things are just coming down on you. The whole nine yards, all these things are just coming down on you. But, it's in those times where, it's like, okay, all I know how to do is start praying in tongues. Because I, quite frankly, don't know what I need. I, quite frankly, don't know what I needed to go forward in the Lord. But I know I need help. And I know I need mercy. Yeah. I know I need to continue forward. So what I start doing is just praying in tongues, which, quite frankly, I do before I also go to service, because it's one of those things where, and ask for interpretation, because, it's one of those things where that's scary for me, and naturally. And I don't know what the people have, or what's in the people's heart, or what the Lord would have for the people. I don't know these things, but I do know the one that does.
Yeah. That's true.
And that's Jesus. And all you can do is trust in that. So, I mean, I look at that, and those times at work, those times at home, those times of things where in practicing that and trusting in the Lord in those things, it seems to always be a deliverance when I act upon it. And I'm saying there's not always a deliverance because I don't act on it all the time.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So...
that's, we do have varying degrees of success.
It's because if we're going to act in faith and believe God, or if we're not, you know.
Right.
Not him, us. So. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God.
Yeah, well, you know, that's that's really good news to us, because we are not always aware of what's in other people's hearts. Most, and a lot of the times, until it's shown to us, we don't know what's in ours.
Right.
And we're speaking stuff out of our mouths that are already confirming to other people what is in our hearts. And I got to tell you that sometimes it's just not good stuff. And, you know, you need to have you need to have something that works to purge that stuff out of you. So it that's why there's so much emphasis, you know, and in like in Philippians where it says whatever's pure, whatever's all that, whatever's like 6-7, whatever's in 4-8, think on these things. Because, and speak these things. And the more you do that, you'll find the less embittered and less angry you are. Because, you know, the word of the Lord is his yea and amen, amen. And his promises are there. They were there yesterday, they're there today. And just like his mercy is new every day, promises are too.
Amen.
And
you know what's that searches the hearts and knoweth what the mind of the Spirit maketh his, and maketh because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You know, the antidote, one of the things that you have, what you said was, you know, because we don't know what's in people's hearts, or we did some did that come out, some it's ugly.
Yeah.
Or what's in our hearts, and it's ugly. And the antidote for that is the gospel.
Right.
You know, the antidote for that is the gospel. And what that stuff does is that brings actually, that brings out that stuff that comes out within my heart, brings me and take me, I can clearly take a look at it and go, you know, oh God, me a sinner. You know, when I take an honest look at it.
And you know, you actually
and go ahead, Paulie.
Well, you were on a roll there.
No, go ahead.
You subject the stuff to the Lord's cleansing, and you know, it, unfortunately, that takes us out of Romans 8. It puts me back in Romans 12. Count this body as a presentation to him, a sacrifice for him to do with as he wants. And I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Well, first off, the fact that this body can be holy and acceptable to God is a strange concept, but he can, if you're pouring it out like a sacrifice to him for his pleasure, it says here, if you're able to make it a living sacrifice and let him be Lord of it, that's a sacrifice that's acceptable to God and it's reasonable. It, you know, and it's really the bare minimum.
Right.
Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. We are all, and that's, it's like every morning you wake up and you're back into conformation with the world. And your mind's had free rein all night to it's never in a state of rest. It's always in a, and it's had no discipline all night. And you wake up all consumed. It's all about you, and you have to put that stuff off. And I trust that this word is true. And if I remove that which has been conformed and yet again to the world, and submit it to Him, that He will enable me to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. And as Paul says somewhere else about the washing and renewing of the Word, it's cleansing. The best place to start with that is here in His Word.
Amen. And, you know, the thing, there was a scripture an hour of truth a long time ago, and I don't remember what scripture it was, but it was talking about submitting unto God, you know, and I can actually look at Corinthians onto this, where, you know, if you're just willing to make that choice, God does that work. Right. God puts that love in your heart. God puts that what you need to be that reasonable service for Him.
Right.
It's the Lord that does that work there by His love and by His power. He's the one that does the transfer. We make that choice to submit. It's Him, you know, where it talks about Apollos has watered, I have planted, Apollos has watered, but what, God giveth the increase?
Right.
You know, I kind of look at that as the thing that's God, that's what the Lord's doing.
Right.
He's giving the increase. He's doing the transformation. He's right. Doing the work. You know, you have nothing to boast off. It's just you simply making a choice. Which is something He's freed you up to do anyways.
But it is His, that's His work and His desire to have completed in you.
Absolutely.
Is the transforming by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Absolutely.
That means by what you do, by the things you say, you're proving the will of God. And
knowing it, and knowing Him in that.
Right.
I mean, you look at Jesus and how He walked on this earth. He did only that which the Father told Him to do.
Right.
What He told Him to say and what He told Him to do. We can have that same relationship.
And He meets.
As well. And he wants to do that. He wants to do that.
And He can meet that in powerful ways. In powerful ways.
Amen.
And prove His word is true. And, you know, if you're about the business of speaking His word, then He's about the business of proving it's true.
Amen.
So, you know, all that's good stuff because it's not something that comes to us naturally at all.
No, and it's all about the grace of the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
It's all about what He has done.
Absolutely.
And for Him to be glorified through what He's given you.
And these are really the two how-tos. This is the instruction manual that plugs in to work out your own salvation. And he talks about just before that, not as you were obedient in my absence, so also in my sight, in my presence, that you can work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's... this is the how-to, and it begins and ends with how good He is, and that His word is true, and His promises He delivers on, and our need for it never goes away.
Oh, absolutely.
And the more you do it, the more your desire for it increases, and it He ministers a transforming love, a cleanse of the heart, a purifying of our motives, instead of being motivated to look good or to be well thought of, you're just motivated to share the truth of the word, the good news of the gospel, exhortation, provoking to love and good works, and that's loving one another. And it's all a glory and a praiseworthy experience. I mean, that kind of takes us back into Romans 8. a little departure.
Did you want to go back to Romans 8?
Sure. That's a good passage there.
So you want to go to 8:28? You want to start from the beginning? What do you want to do?
I don't know that we'd ever finish if we started from the beginning.
I don't think so either. So we'll just go, I suppose, where I left off.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose.
Two different people. Those that love God.
And those that are called according to his purpose.
Right.
The called, it says, too.
Right. And
correct me if I'm wrong, the called there is the predestinated there. Is that correct?
Right. The apostles and prophets.
Right. But what does it also say, though, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God.
Right.
And that's a choice.
That's
just a choice to make.
That's right.
I mean, you take Elijah was a perfect example in that.
Right.
I mean, Elijah was not preordained. But Elijah just looked at the Word of God and looked at Israel and looked at the Word of God and looked at Israel and said, hey, the Word of God says this. It's not going to rain if you're doing that. Hey, it's not going to rain. God says, wow. Here's an anointing for you, Elijah. Answer. You know, so that love God, I mean, that's a choice we make. That's a choice of preferring Him. So if we prefer Him, then all things work together for the good.
Right.
That's a promise, like you were talking about the promises being renewed every day as well.
God causes, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, it says right here, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to persons. The cause, are you looking at?
God causes all things to work for the good. But that happens because you're in agreement with it. So it's going to be good for you. I was perhaps thinking of this is one of the bad things when the first translation you were in was a not King James translation, and a lot of the first verses you committed to your memory were worded differently than, and I think the translation I was using said specifically, God causes all things to work together for good, and I don't know, that's not true. I know that even the things that are intended for my ill, the Lord works and confounds the wisdom of the world and causes those things to be part of my experience pool that works out to the benefit of others.
Amen.
And
absolutely. Well, you see that where I read in Psalm this morning, it says the righteous shall be afflicted. But God will what? Deliver them out of all. So, I mean, that's essentially what you're saying there.
Yeah.
Is you're saying there is that even those things that were an affliction for you still works to what? Glorify God. And works good, and it works good for you. And the Lord will deliver you out of them all.
Right.
Is what it says. You know, and I... Look, you take the grace of God, and we must look at the grace of God and how awesome it is. And you have many, and all our testimonies are not one of, oh man, so I did all these things great and God honored. No, it's one of, man, we really went the wrong way and messed things up and screwed up. I mean, you take, you know, myself and Hope, bad situation, terrible situation. God's grace turned that upside down. On Satan's head. You know, you take a look, Jeff and Casey's did things the wrong way for many years. God turned those things upside down. You know, you see, I mean, we can just go on and on.
Yeah,
the situation with you and just family just up and leaving you completely. God turned upside down.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's amazing how good he is.
Yeah. Exceedingly abundantly above that which we could ask or think. This says, and we know that all things work together. I hope we all know that. Because God is good. And if the more we know how good he is, the more we are certain that all things work together for good.
The more you have a stand on that.
Right.
You know, what we were talking about earlier is what we really have nothing to stand on, but on his word. Nothing can come against God's word. Nothing could stand against God's word.
No weapon formed against
nothing
can prosper.
Nothing can stand against God's word. So what do we need to do? Stand on what? God's word and his mercy and grace. And basically say nothing can come against God's mercy.
Okay, next verse.
For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. More, do you want me to continue or stop? Moreover, whom...
Yeah, keep going.
Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?
That's right. And... this whom he did foreknow. When is the foreknowledge, right?
He knew him before the foundations of the
earth. That's right. So what is he talking about here? These are the people who we come to believe because of their word and their testimony.
Absolutely. They had already made a choice before in the first earth there.
What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Well, there's an answer to that one. And, you know, Paul, in typical Paul form, gives a really long answer to that one. Clearly, he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And it's like, I was listening to a Tuesday night we did probably last July or August, and Davey made mention of this person who had approached him for healing, and Davey said, "Why? What do you want to be healed for?" Well, so, you know, I can go back to doing the stuff that I do.
Stuff I love to do.
Yeah, stuff
like
I love to
captain
do.
Captain or something, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, why would God heal you for that? God wants you to do his thing.
Amen.
You know, if that's your testimony, then I have faith that he'll do it. But You know, if you want to go back doing your own thing, I don't know.
That falls into James a little bit.
Yeah.
Because you ask him this. You ask it
that you may consume it on your own lust.
But, you know, you look at that now. He's talking us here. He's talking us, and I don't mean us. I mean the predestinated.
Yeah.
He's talking us here. Okay, and how much not he spared not his son, I mean, just give us freely all good things. And what you said earlier, Paul, was that we may know him by their word. That mm-hmm. may know him by their word. Those are the predestinated in their word.
That's right.
However, how much more will he freely give us all good things if we believe their word, their testimony of Jesus Christ? If we are lining up with, if we are lining up with his anointing, we have that same access as well.
True.
You know what I'm saying? If we're in agreement with God, we're in agreement with his word, like you so said, we're in agreement with the ones that he has chosen.
Right.
According to his word, how much more shall he not give us freely all good things?
That's
he
right.
didn't even spare his own son.
That's right.
We didn't deserve it by no means. He paid that price. The only one that didn't deserve it was Jesus Christ. And he gave us his son. How much more would he give us all things that we need to go about? And it's good that you brought it, but to consume it upon your own lust because you ask him this. But how much freely would he give us all good things if we're truly about, like you talked about in 12, the going forward in his will?
Right.
He won't hold back from that, man. He sees somebody that wants to go about doing his will and preaching his grace
that you
and
can
his gospel.
Prove
he's
what is his perfect
give
will.
You that which you need to go do it.
That's
not
right.
holding back. Not holding back.
I guess we're up on 33 now. And
go ahead, Paulie.
Just like, you know, the things that are running through my mind are, I'm sitting there thinking about how great was Elijah's ascendancy to the ministry, and then he does that great demonstration with the prophets of Baal, and the Lord delivers, and then who is it? Jezebel wasn't terribly happy about the whole happening, and all of a sudden he finds himself hiding out, going, oh, God, I'm just like everybody else.
I'm no different than my father's.
And he was probably thinking, pretty warm and fuzzy about himself until he realized,
Well, he got scared and ran from Jezebel.
Yeah.
This is what happened.
Yeah.
And, that's where he knew was no different than anybody else that did the same thing, and that's what everybody else was doing. They were running from Jezebel's Baal worship
and everything.
At that
point, he could write James chapter 1.
Right, exactly.
Right.
But that's God's grace, right? We don't come upon God's grace. We've done these wonderful things, and we did all everything right.
Right.
Wow. Look at what I've done. No, we come upon grace because, gosh, have mercy on me, a sinner.
That grace and
I
mercy.
I am just an utter freaking failure.
That grace and mercy that Elijah found in his time of need. That was the same grace and mercy that David found in his time of need over and over again. And it's the same grace and mercy that is new every day for us because our need is every day.
Amen. And what's the gospel for those that don't know that grace and mercy? For
Sweet.
Us to go, hey, you know what? I'm no different than you.
Mm.
The only difference between me is Jesus. And that's it. And that, he died for you too. And if you're about going and actually doing that, that's what he's talking about. About doing his will. Is going out there and preaching the gospel.
And
then
I'm,
he's going to give us all things, like he talks about.
I shudder to think that if I put myself in Elijah's place, I would think that would he rather have the experience of laying prophets of Baal to waste, or would he rather have the experience of God going, sorry, buddy.
Yeah, I love you.
I got it.
No, I love you.
Yeah.
I think you're a senior. I know you're a sinner, but I still accept you.
Yeah.
I still love you.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to go down and die for you. And
yeah. It's those times when you know how good the Lord is. And that fact, Jeff.
I would change from most of us have not come to God on a good day, I'd say to none.
None of us. Yeah, none of us.
Absolutely. We need grace.
It was
mercy.
Usually in desperation.
Absolutely.
When everything's just coming unglued.
Absolutely.
Running off the rails. Nothing. Nothing. There's absolutely no claim to your worthiness or that you're even thinking about making. And that's where Lord, just like Elijah, is like, he's, I'm not making any excuse. Lord, I deserve, just let me die now and let's get it over with. Because I'm just like everybody else. I'm like my fathers before me, who I was sitting in judgment of.
And you know what, Paul? It's funny, we're talking, it's like, you know, we get on these things, and, you know, Steve hit on it a little bit on the things. It's like, you know, it's neat to hear that, because it's like, yeah, I'm a miserable son of a gun, and you know, you get in a place of Psalm 73, and you think you're just like the only one out there. That, you know, God's grace is sufficient enough for everybody else except me. You know, truly, God is good to Israel, and even as such, it has a clean heart. But me, my feet are almost gone. But as for me, is what he says, and it's like, you know, you can read, and you have the testimony of Elijah. You're saying, you ain't the only one, but not the case.
Yeah,
his grace is sufficient.
This isn't the first time this ever happened.
Right. We're talking about Elijah here.
Yeah.
The one that had the gall to go up to the kings and say, hey, it's not going to rain.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's God's mercy.
Yeah.
That's God's grace. And when you have that.
Yeah, then you're...
Angie put something in here, and we need to remember those things that God has shown up and shown himself faithful and loving to be able to stand in those times when time, things seem hopeless. And absolutely, Angie. I mean, you know why it was so long for it? Am I going off track?
No, there is an end to this, and, you know, Lord, deliverance is coming. And you know, somebody's going to speak the word to you or something. The Lord's going to minister and give you hope in the hopeless appearance of things. His hope is just as abundant as his grace and mercy. And usually, all you really need is a reminder of his grace and mercy. And that he shows up.
Amen.
He shows up.
Amen.
He shows up. He's got a pocket full of grace and a pocket full of mercy, and he keeps handing it out.
Amen. And you have, and we need to remember those things that God has shown up, you know, and shown himself faithful and loving. You know, what I wanted to say to that, you know, it's, look, you have that example of the children of Israel, and you see why God, you know, I get to see what he was establishing a relationship with the children of Israel when he sent all his plagues. He sent the flies. He sent the hailstorms on Egypt and delivered them out of Egypt.
Right.
He's shown up for them,
right,
in a way that many times over and over and over again he's shown up for them, and yet they still fell into unbelief. And it's one of those things where we can do the same thing in these hopeless situations, but you're right, needing to remember the good things of God and his grace.
And yet you sit there, and you know what I'm reminded of is back where Paul's listing all of these charges, indictments against our nature in Romans chapter 1. It's like being haters of God, and you know, you exchange the natural function of women for women and men for men, and all, and God gave you over to your lusts
to a reprobate mind.
To a reprobate mind, and that that is where we all have the same nature, and we've all had to be saved from the same. No one was worse. No one was better. It is the same selfish, I can be like God thing that's been going on since, I was about to say since the garden, but it was going on in the heavens too, when Lucifer said, hey, you know what, I can do this. This is a pretty good gig. And, you know, and he and a third of the angels fell. So, the rebellion is out there. And the longer we depart from his word and don't abide in the vine and don't aren't hid in the body of Christ, in God, the more we turn back to the hideous
old man. Yeah.
And that's just, God, that scares the ever-loving crap out of me. Because I know what was in there. And this was the happy, feel-good verses of Romans 8. How did I go back? How did I, you know, I know, just like Elijah, where I came from, and I just turns out I'm no better than anybody else. But he's good.
Amen. And his mercy,
yeah,
and grace covers, and it's all about his mercy and grace. And you know, I want to get going on to the end of this chapter, Will, because when we are abiding in that mercy and grace and just having that cross before us, knowing that we need his grace and his mercy and humility. This is all the things that we can overcome coming up. We just rise above it.
The next couple of verses are very interesting that he sticks them in here to me. Is that interesting to you? Read them.
Keep going. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us?
All right, let's stop there for a minute. What kind of charge is being laid to God's elect?
You know, I don't know, but when you have, there's all kinds
let me,
of
let
things
me just,
that people,
let me restate the question, because there is a sense in which stuff is laid to the charge of God's elect, in the sense that they are the authorities, who the powers and the dignities in Romans 13 that they have charge or rule over you, us, you know. So they are his charge and responsibility. So that's a sense of one of the things this can be. But as I'm reading this, God's elect are charged all the time with, you just don't understand. You just want money. You just want...
Or how about this?
You just want power.
Well, right. Or how about this? I mean, you also have what you have is they're about God's grace. They're about the gospel. They agree with God. And then they say, well, I don't agree with that because they are of the world. They're the things of the world. They're about justifying themselves.
Right.
And not about God's grace. And then they charge them for being ungodly.
Right.
When they're all about God's grace.
But, you know, it's like... When somebody's one of the ladies are keeping the kids, so that others can go do things, you know, for whatever reason, those kids are in the charge of that person who's keeping them. So that's one of the senses of
no.
That.
What you mean by that?
Yeah.
Okay. Not in the sense of trying to blame them for something going
right.
wrong that they're in the charge of.
And that may be true as well in this sense. But the thing that I was digging for here is we are so quick to judge those in authority over us for being unfair, that you don't understand, you're out. You got evil motives and all this kind of thing for whatever they are. That happens as well, and that that is what's being said here. Because the next thing it says is God. It is God that justifies.
Right.
Not he, you.
He, right. It's God's justification by Him on the cross.
It's not even. It's not even. The God, it's not the elect's job to justify themselves. God does it.
Right, exactly. And you know, and that's why I think, in a sense, because who is he that condemns?
Right.
You know, who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us.
Yeah, so
it's
nothing you can do
justifying.
To rob these people of their position,
right?
Of their authority. It's God that justifies. It's God who sent Jesus to cover. What would otherwise be condemnation.
Right, and then also risen again in power.
Right. So, in other words, who is he that condemneth? He's nothing, really. That's what the deal is.
Because it's God standing in the gap. It's Jesus standing in the gap. And Jesus is absolutely blameless.
He's the one that's making intercession for
right.
us. And now, because of all that, who shall separate us from love of Christ? It's not somebody bringing some kind of charge, false charge, or even if it's a true charge. God's elect doesn't have to answer that charge. They answer to God. That's all they answer to.
Amen.
And who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. That's Colossians 3, isn't it? Mortify the deeds of the flesh. They're dying in this body all day long. As however many times it has to. It raises up its ugly head and says, hey, it's about me, it's about me, it's about me.
Well, you know, you also, I look at Stephen as an example, you know, and something else that Steve brought up. Stephen, example, in the midst of these stones being thrown at him that were meant to kill him.
Right.
He still looked up and seen Christ come off his throne and say, welcome in, Stephen.
Yeah.
Was that stressful for him? No, but you couldn't think of more of a stressful situation.
Right.
You know, you look at that when it's about God's grace. It was about God's grace because what did he say? Please don't lay the sin to their charge.
Yeah. That's exactly how
you put it. And you have where if we trust the Lord, we're talking about that choice of trust in the Lord, trusting in his mercy, trusting in that sacrifice for us, then what? Yet we can rise above. Not that you're any different than anybody else. No, you're just like them, but you have Jesus' grace.
Right.
And, you know, the fruit of Stephen going, to getting stoned, there's a couple of things that happened. One, Saul was consenting under that death.
Right.
And there was fruit from that, and he realized he was going the wrong way when God showed up before him. The other thing was they were to go out into the world, if we read Acts, go out in the world and preach the gospel was what Jesus told them to do. They stayed right there in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
But after that, they said, oh crap, let's go. And they went out and what? They preached the gospel throughout the world.
Yeah. Every time Peter went out, he was prosperous. But
amen. Amen.
He always went back home. And oh.
And you know, it says, you know, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Look, you're going to... The self-righteous and the people of this world are going to hate the fact of the gospel. They're going to hate
is,
that.
That is a
quote in the Old Testament.
That is a restatement of Romans 12:1.
Right. And that's actually a quote from the from somewhere in the Old Testament. I think it's in Psalms.
Yeah, it's handy not to have a reference version.
I've read it so many times.
Yeah, I
already noticed.
Yeah,
that. I know. And I've read it in Psalms too. So, but you're right. I mean, that's where you're willing, as Stephen was. You're willing to go out there and be about the Lord and His grace, His mercy, His gospel, what He has done, knowing the will of God.
Paul tells the Philippians, you know, whether it's better. You know, it was up to me. I just want to go to be with the Lord right now. And he said, but it's profitable for you that I stay. So maybe I'll hang around for a while. And it's like, in many ways, they sacrificed in the natural. For the needs of those under them, and it's even through all that, and whatever it appears to be to the natural eye, nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us.
Amen.
Because, you know, all of it causes the gospel to bound. All of it causes grace and mercy to be distributed. All of it is in the end conquered. He conquered death.
The idea of that, nothing can hold you back.
Right.
It doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't matter. Shall tribulation hold you back? No, Lord. We trust the Lord. We trust in His gospel. That's not going to hold you back. Is distress going to hold you back? No. We trust in the Lord. We trust in the gospel. That's not going to hold you back. Is persecution? No. We trust in the Lord. We trust in the gospel. That's not going to hold you back.
That's right.
Is famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? No. None of those things are going to hold you back because you have Jesus. You have Jesus. None of those things can hold you back because He's already defeated. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You know?
I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's where the love is.
Amen. That's where the mercy is. That's where the grace is.
While we were yet sinners, God commended his love to us that he spared not his only son.
Amen.
While we were yet sinners, while we were enemies.
None of these things shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ.
Nothing.
However, I know
no contrivance
that we can walk away from it. That's that free will.
That's right.
But God in his mercy and grace, even at those times, sends ministering spirits to help us.
Well, it's a good thing we started on 26, because it's like 3 minutes. So I just want everybody to know that these are promises that are, in some sense, towards God's elect, but we become partakers of them.
Amen.
For those that love God and who are the called according to his purpose. Two different groups, both of them partake of everything that is packaged in the Jesus that you turn your life over to and trust him to be able to deliver you that day, whole and complete. Because he's good.
Amen.
Because his grace and mercy are both abundant, fresh, and new every day.
Amen.
Every day.
Amen.
And we have access to it because he loves us. Because we need it. So that's about another week in the Hour of Truth. You got anything else there, buddy?
Just God bless everybody. I hope things made sense to you guys, and y'all have a good day.
I hope it was both enjoyable and profitable. And God bless everybody. Y'all have a great week, and we'll see you next time.